What's up, you guys? Welcome back. Well, this week's obvious change, personally, is my hair. I have not changed my hair color for about 7 years. I feel like anytime anybody does like a major change like that, it's just gonna be like a new chapter, new beginning. So I kind of was itching for that. I'm very excited for this year to see how everything kind of ties in together, all the stuff I've been working on with the Yegi project and my business and all that good stuff. That's my quick life update. Still looking for a good nanny. I need all the help I can get, you know, because we're going to take over the world. Really takes a village. On the podcast note, in this week's episode, I will be interviewing Sandy Marie, who is now officially a published author. Ah! So excited and so proud of her. She is not a writer, but she decided to go out of her comfort zone and really write a book about her life story. Now, when we interview her, you'll kind of get to know her life a little bit. It's super interesting. I don't want to give too much in the interview, nor now in the intro, but I hope you guys really enjoyed this episode. She's an amazing, amazing human. She has a foundation and a ministry that's helping young adults to really get their life together. People that have been through trauma, abuse, or anything that might really get in their way of living a normal life, she really steps up and reaches out and helps people that need the counseling and the advice and the help. I'm really excited again to have you guys get to know her. So let's go ahead and jump into the episode. Hey, beauty lovers and fellow entrepreneurs. I'm Yegi, the owner and founder of Yegi Beauty. Within 5 years of being my own boss, I was able to grow Yegi Beauty into a multi-million dollar company. This podcast is where I share what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur in the beauty industry. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Yegi Project. Today we have Sandy, and I'm very excited to officially interview her and get to know her on our podcast. And I actually first got to know her as my lash client, so it's very exciting and inspiring to hear her story as I was doing her lash. It's like, hey, come on our podcast. So here she is today. Let's give her a warm welcome.
Hello, everybody. I am so happy to be here with the main entrepreneur here.
Well, again, thank you for taking the time to come out. So please tell our listeners, who are you, what do you do, and just a quick background.
So I am Sandy Marie, and I do a lot of stuff. I wear many hats. I have a catering business.
Okay,
that's one. I do have a foundation. And this foundation, it helps communities and just many different people. And I also do women's counseling for women with, you know, past traumas and stuff like that.
Awesome. Yeah. So definitely multi-talented, yes. Multi-hat wearing entrepreneur woman. Yes. And honestly, yes. That's a lot of times what I hear and what I see. I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs do have few passions and we find a way to kind of join them or find a way to balance them out. But, you know, with that said too, what's your hardest, what's your biggest challenge with running a business, your catering business, and trying to counsel a woman and manage your foundation? What's the hardest part of that?
The hardest part is time. it's one of me wearing many hats. So the hardest thing is been time for the most part.
Just to give like your all to everything.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think you mentioned lately you're sleeping not until 2-3 a.m. trying to get everything done. So how has that been like? And what's making you stay up so late?
Well, it's exhausting for one, but you know, I feel like there's many people relying on me, you know, being an entrepreneur, there's people that depend on you to do your end of whatever you need to do to keep people working, to keep women, you know, focused as well, because again, you're carrying all the weight, you know, yes. you're setting a foundation for each of those. And so that's all time consuming.
That's like the rewarding and challenging part, right?
It is.
That
it really
is so exciting. But it is so much pressure.
It is. It really is. It's a lot of pressure, but like you said, it's very rewarding, you know?
Yes. Yeah, so let's back up a little. Tell us a little bit about you and your story and what made you get into these two main businesses, right? For your giving back to the community and also running your catering business.
Yes. So My catering. That I've been catering for about 7-8 years already. And
very established.
Yes, I've been cooking since I was 9 years old.
Oh, wow.
So this is a passion, a gift that I just have.
And it just comes naturally to you. You totally. Just know how to like splash each ingredient and it comes together.
I do. And I love it. I love it. I mean, all of my business, literally 100% of my business is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. It is word
of mouth.
That's
like the best way to market, absolutely. Right?
Yeah.
Because we all trust who we personally know. We don't even need to consider, do any research. If somebody says, hey, this person's good, and you know, we love and trust our friend or family member, we're like, okay, let me go. let me try them.
Exactly. So, yeah, literally 100% of it. I mean, I've done marketing and I get more from word of mouth than I do from that. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so this is it. You know? That tells a lot. That means what you're doing is good and, you know, people are spreading the word.
Yes. Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
Literally.
Well, lots of that to come, hopefully. Yes. More and more in 2023.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, to be able to even employ other people who need the job too, you know?
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of these women as well that, you know, like this is where it's like integrating women who are being counseled and stuff like that and just kind of getting them back into the real world and also
finding their kind of place, you know?
Yes.
And wow. So you found a way to put those two very separate things together.
Yes.
So explain a little bit more. Who are the women you help and who can seek for your help?
Well, that is on sandymarie.com. And I'm also pastor of Sandy Marie Ministries, which is women, you know, being counseled and stuff like that. It's whoever needs help, guidance, even just in life, you know? Some of us don't know what our calling is.
Yes, a lot of us. I feel like a lot of people don't know. And sometimes being young women, we can feel kind of lost and all over the place, you know? So it's nice to have a place that you can go to get the guidance to start off with.
And I think it all starts off with just knowing your identity. Many don't. Many become young mothers, for example. So to them, they're just mom. But there's more to that. There's more to just
so
mom.
Much more.
So many don't know that. Many don't understand that. So this is where, you know, just you the whole process in. Of just knowing who you are. Like, what do you like? Who are you as a person? Not as a mom, you know, but as a person or even as a business owner.
Yeah.
You know, many get lost in just work alone.
Yeah.
And building. But it's like, whoa, let's take a step back. And what about you?
You who as a person. Are you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great, honestly. Yeah. With your catering business, when did you know that you could fully make this your... You said you had a passion for the cooking and for all of that. Since you were 9, you were cooking. But when did it kind of like spark your interest that, oh, I can make this into a business and I can earn money doing what I love?
Well, it's funny because friends and family would ask me to cook. And I mean, I never charged anything. I would just do it.
Sure.
Until my mom's like, hey, why don't you like start doing this? You know, like make this into a business. And I'm like, really? You know, and I was like, okay,
what was your hesitation?
You know what? I just didn't think that, you know?
You just didn't think you can get paid doing what you're just doing anyways?
This is where the whole identity part, because again, in order for you to be able to help others, you had to have gone through it. And I didn't know my identity as a woman, as a person. I was just working at other companies and I was always like promoted really quick because I naturally have leader skills. I'm bossy, I guess. I think I'm bossy.
It comes naturally too. So, it's different, you know, like leadership skills are a whole different skill set. And some people have it more naturally or some people, because of their life experiences, we build it, you know, without even knowing. And then some people, if they really want to, they work on it and they can become leaders, right? And it's nice that you kind of came natural. So you're like, maybe I should lead.
So I was like, okay. So, I mean, I already had it, but I guess I didn't think that I can just do it. I mean, I come from a family of entrepreneurs.
Just needed somebody to give you that little push.
Yeah, that light bulb, you know? And so I was like, okay, well, you know what? I can do that.
I love that.
And so, yeah, I started doing it. I mean, obviously it started off slowly and then I did take a break for a couple years. You know, I had gotten married at that time, and I just kind of took a break to really just set a do foundation your thing. Even in marriage, you know? So
yeah, so, which is super necessary. The first couple years of marriage is confusing. Yeah, that's kind of hard. It is. Right? You're trying to find your peace with a whole new person in a whole new setting, you know, who does what. So it's not, it sounds great sometimes, but sometimes the challenges of it is a lot.
It's hard. Absolutely. It's hard because, I mean, you can only control you and what you
exactly. do. Exactly. And I'm so glad you mentioned that because I think it's so, so important in life and for entrepreneurs. So in life is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
As a wife or as a mother, you know, we want to control people around us because, you know, we want the best for them or we want the best for the circumstance. But in business too, you know, some employees or some managers or leaders or business owners try to kind of control their employees and they don't get it. That does not work.
We
have zero control over people, right? Do you agree?
100%.
Yes. And unless we are actually leading where they want to follow you, where they want to, you know, work with you.
Yeah.
And they come to the conclusion that they want to change and work on whatever they want to work on, it's never going to happen, right?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I think that was a very hard lesson for me that I personally learned in life that, hey, you can't control anybody or anything. I learned this in my personal life and then I applied it to business.
Absolutely. We have to go through that in order for us to learn and to be able to apply it. There's no other way.
Yes. Tell me your side of it. How did you realize that, nope, I can't control people. I'm just gonna focus on me and do the best I can for the people who are actually seeking the help.
I would say it was mainly probably started in my marriage. That's where it started. I mean, of course, I'm no longer married, but
for a good reason.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like you're happy about situation.
You know what? I'm good. I'm happy. Good. I'm at peace. I learned a lot through the process, you know?
That's all it's about. Life lessons. Everything we go through.
Absolutely. I learned a lot. I learned that you can't make somebody do what they don't want to do.
No.
And you cannot control them. Like, all you can do is, hey, you know, pray for them.
Yeah.
That's it. You know? Yeah. That's it. And whatever they do is
up to them.
But from there, it was also in ministry because I was, you know, overseeing a whole church. And
so tell me more about that. I think I don't know too much about that area. Yeah. So what do you do in your ministry? Like, what is your role? And
so my role in my ministry, which is Sandy Marie Ministries, is I oversee everything, but I mainly counsel women.
Okay.
I counsel women. So that is
my... So you manage like the ministry itself, but your personal day-to-day, you do the counseling.
Yes. And these are, you know, these are one-on-one counseling that I'm doing. I'm going to be opening up this in 2023 in January to group counseling. Group settings.
I love that.
You know, I definitely want to do that because we all need it.
Yeah, and some people thrive more in groups because they're shy, you know, or they don't feel as comfortable. But maybe if somebody goes with them or, you know, they know they're not alone and they're in a group setting, they can just sit and listen, you know. So I think
and it's been a higher demand of me and my time. And so I'm like, okay, I don't have the time to be able to give everybody that one-on-one.
Okay.
So I'm going to start scheduling where it's like, okay, on this day at this time, this is group. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's a solution you found. And I'm glad you bring that up because in business too, we always, especially service type of business, there's limited time. Mm-hmm. There's just so much we could do. Even if we use every second of the day of the time and we're booked, but what do we do next?
Yeah.
Right? So now your solution, which I love, was like opening it up to groups instead of one-on-one. So so you're pretty much like 10 times in your time. So if there's 10 people in that group or, you know, and if it was a business that you're earning money for this, you would 10 times earn that money for the 10 people instead of the one-on-one. So I love that this comes up, you know, because this is an entrepreneurial and personal development podcast. So some people kind of get stuck and are at that cap. They're like, okay, I'm fully booked, but, you know, I don't want to have employees. Like, what do I do? You know, what's my next step? And I think that's a great, great idea for some of our listeners that they can consider, okay, you know, maybe on instead of one-on-one certain things, maybe I can do group type of events.
I mean, I think you get more, like you're able to help more. Mm-hmm. As far as the ministry, the counseling, all of that, no, I don't charge for that. that's just literally me. Just, I want to, if I can help you overcome, you know, trauma or anything, mm-hmm, you know, whatever, mm-hmm, wherever you feel you're stuck. Mm-hmm. If I can help you, that is a blessing. That's for me in reward. Itself. You know, I don't charge for that.
I think
the only thing I'm charging for right now is the catering.
Well, you know, you have to make money somehow.
I think that's you know, and it's so true, because even helping the community, you know, we help people if they need clothes, they need, mm-hmm, blankets, they need food, all of that stuff. And yeah, again, I mean, these are things, of course, people are welcome to donate to the foundation, yeah, and stuff like that,
but somebody still needs to manage it and the timing and, yeah, all of that,
and that's pay for all. It
yeah, and pay for it
and pay for it. So this is where it's like I work a lot, because everything honestly is coming out of my pocket.
I love helping people too, and but also at the end of the day, we need to find that balance of how much of our time can go into helping people for free, yeah, you know, if it's our time, if it's money we're donating or whatever it may be, or spending that time like on our business or something that's earning income. So what has been kind of your experience, or what has been kind of like your motivation? Because sometimes it does get hard to keep going if you see sometimes, like, you know, there is no some sort of reward. And a lot of people look at that reward a lot of times as monetary reward. Yeah. But what keeps you going, especially the nights where you're up until 3 a.m., 4 a.m. and you're exhausted, but, you know, you're doing this. What keeps you going?
What keeps me going is my faith in God. Literally, that's what keeps me going every day, because what we do is not even about us and what we can produce, mm-hmm, but who we can help and, yeah, who they can help along the way. And it kind of trickles down where, yeah, it's like when you can bless somebody, they want to be a blessing to others as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it is. And it's that positivity that goes, yeah, around. I really believe that. Now, I know, talking to you earlier, you found God later on in life, and you have a very cool story. I don't know if you want to share that on our podcast, yeah, or not.
You do? Okay. I'll go ahead and share a little bit.
Whatever
of it,
you want to share. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot is in the book.
Oh, yes. And we want to talk about the book next. So she is also releasing a book that she's been working really hard on. Yes. So besides everything, she's been, yeah, writing and, yes, working with publishers, trying to push this to go live. And I, yes, think you said in about a month or so,
yes,
right?
Finally. Oh,
great way to start the new year.
It's been hard because, for one, I'm not a writer. But, you know, after that, I have learned so much that I'm
You've become a writer.
I've become a writer and add an author to my title.
I love it.
But, you know, I know that this book is going to impact many. The book, it's got 9 chapters.
Okay.
9 chapters of different times in my life where I really had to overcome certain obstacles,
challenge,
and situations and stuff like that. And of course, I came from brokenness, you know. I came from 2 parents who were, you know, kids.
Yeah.
Kids having kids, they had no guidance, no nothing. So they kind of had to figure it out on their own.
They did their best.
Yes. And part of that, you know, of course, I went through a lot of trauma growing up as a child. And so that's kind of what led me into counseling women, because many go through, you know, sexual abuse and brokenness. And all and it
feeling
just,
empty or not, yeah, not knowing who you are, like you said,
identity issues, all of that. And if, you know, kids raising kids, you're not
it's
showing
different.
Them love because you don't understand that yet.
And sometimes too, like even I had my kids later, and yeah. I think I was fully, I am a fully adult. So, but even that had so many challenges
it
where
does.
I did lose my identity myself, yes, for uh-huh. a good period of time.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine somebody who's already so young and is a kid and doesn't know who they really are, bringing in a kid in the world. And now you have to not only care for yourself, your body, which back then that wasn't even a thing. Like there yeah. wasn't much self-care, self-love. It
no.
was just like, okay,
figure it out.
Don't complain. You're fine. You know,
yeah.
even if, you know, and it's sad, but even for a lot of women too, like the postpartum depression stuff, mm-hmm. it was not even recognized. So we don't even know what some people went through. And of course that affects the children by default without, you know, even wanting to hurt our children.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
Again, we didn't have that love. You know, we weren't shown love, we weren't taught love, nothing. So that leads us to, you know, looking for love in the wrong places.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we're expecting something from somebody that they probably don't care either.
Yeah.
It just becomes constant. Not only like are you feeling rejected, but you're feeling empty because you're not receiving. Like
something's missing, but you don't even know what. And you're just probably angry. You're trying to find it and seek it elsewhere. But you don't realize maybe you need to start within, right?
For me, it was God.
Okay. For me, so now it all ties together.
For me, it was God. God had to show me he was real because I didn't believe in him. I grew up in the church.
And it's such a sensitive subject, you know?
It is.
Right? And it's like, I'm Armenian, so we are we were born and we're raised Christian, but we're not like really strict Christians. Especially that we grew up in America. It's like religion's not really a thing unless you come from a very religious family. But it's like, I'm Christian, but like, how much do I even know? Like, I don't think I've ever really fully even read the Bible or understood it. Yeah, I'm Christian.
Yeah.
You know? And I do believe, like, I personally do believe in a God or a higher power, you know, like I felt it in my life that something greater exists, or I feel as sometimes like something is watching out for me. Like
absolutely.
I can't keep getting lucky in certain situations.
Yeah.
So I felt that, but it is such a weirdly subject. And I feel like anytime a lot of people that hear God, and you know, like this is a public podcast, so I do want to kind of cover that. A lot of people kind of like, I don't know, they don't know how to handle it.
How to react to it.
So a lot of times a lot of people believe in different gods, different higher powers, and a lot of people nowadays believe in the universe or, you know, that energy or whatever they want to call it. So I just want to cover that aspect of it. I've kind of looked into all the different things and it all kind of comes down to that. Like there is some sort of higher power energy to really cover the basis of all religions and everything. And for you know, so that's kind of what you put your faith in, and you found something that you can give and find your love in.
Yeah, honestly, it was just like literally it was a peace. It was a peace, and it was the love that God literally filled me up with, where I was like, whoa, I've never felt this. I've never gotten this from anybody.
Yeah.
And so when you can just literally rely on just God and not have to seek elsewhere, that's just a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, and I think we kind of had that conversation. You just have to feel it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point into somebody trying to convince you or say anything. You just have to feel it or come to a point in your life where maybe you experience something where you're like, okay, this is what it is.
Well, God had to literally radically show me.
Yes, and so, that's what I want to lead this to, because I loved that story. It was so like, whoa.
Yeah, so this is where, okay, one of my friends from growing up, he was like, I was partying, wilding out, thought I was living my best life, you know?
You're young,
drugs,
you didn't
alcohol,
know.
Everything, you name it, I was doing it. And he was like, hey, you know, come to church with me. I was like, no, not happening. Not happening.
Why do you think I need church?
Yeah, and so I was, because, I mean, I used to party with him back then, you know, but then he started going to church and stuff, but I was like, not my thing, you know? But because I went through so much trauma growing up, I was like, there is no God. If there was God, I would have never gone through what I went through. So that's not true.
Yeah.
So to me, I had shut that out. But he bugged me for so long until I was like, okay, if I go one time, are you going to leave me alone? He's like, yes, I promise. I'm like, okay. So I did. I went this one time. And I walk in, and it's like a concert. I'm like, okay, this is not church, but whatever. I'm there. They did like an altar call for healing. And so I was like, okay, God's gonna heal people. You know, I'm just like
rolling your eyes.
Exactly. But at the time, I had, you know, a bad ankle because I had gone to the snow and I twisted my ankle and I couldn't wear heels for like a long time. So I was like, okay, whatever, let's go. Let's see what this God is all about, you know? And so, you know, I go up, they pray for me, whatever. I go sit back down. And then they, you know, they want to do another altar call for those who want to give their lives to the Lord. And my friend's like, go. And I'm like, no, I'm good. So I'm just sitting there. But they're like, okay, repeat, you know, this prayer, whatever. We repeat it. All of a sudden, I'm bawling, crying. And I'm what is going on?
Like, why am I crying?
I was like, people are probably looking at me. I'm cleaning my face, you know. And so I'm like, okay, what was that? You know, obviously at the time I didn't know, but that was the Holy Spirit, you know. So I was like, okay. The next day, I wake up like at 3-4 in the morning. I didn't get up out of bed, but I woke up out of my sleep. And then I start moving my ankle and I'm like, no way.
Oh my God. Like, it's like goosebumps. It's like, yeah, really? It's like, that's really happened.
God woke me up to show me he healed my ankle. Again, he
I'm having a hard time to believe. Obviously, I believe you.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm even, I was like, that's too good to be true, right?
You know what? That's what I've learned throughout this time. God is so good. Like,
it's too good to be true, but you have to feel it. And I think that's where we left that off. Like, you need to experience it to kind of know, like, what you're talking about.
Yes. And, you know, the next day I have lunch with my mom and I'm like, Mom, he's real. He's real. She's like, who's real? I'm like, God is real. And I'm crying because I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And she was just like, okay, looking at me like, weirdo.
Yeah. I love it, though. You know, I love it. You found your peace.
Yeah. And just to have that experience, like, God knew that he had to show me. And so after that, I would test him. I'm not going to lie. I would test him. Because I wanted to know.
Aren't you supposed to not test him? Isn't that kind of a thing?
I remember that from the cartoons
I used to watch as a little
kid. You're like, isn't it written?
I don't know that much about the Bible, but I don't think you're supposed to test him.
You know what? I did. Again, because I was like,
I just needed more.
Yes. And so I was going out with, you know, with this boyfriend who's, you know, in a cartel and all that stuff. And I knew I wasn't supposed to be with him. So I was like, God, if
he is not... I love how you're saying that so nonchalantly.
Yeah.
You're with a very dangerous guy. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
You know, yeah. You know, it's part of my story. You know what I mean? And this is where...
And you guys have to check out, get her book once it's finally released. We'll mention it everywhere so we can actually read the full story. So don't give too much away, but just a little hint.
Yes. So I was, you know, with this guy, and I was like, okay, Lord, if he's not for me, remove him. The next day, all of a sudden, we'd break up. And I'm like, what? Okay. And so, you know, 2 days later, we'd get back together. And then I would do it again. Lord, if he's not for me, remove him. And he kept doing it. I was like, oh my God, you really are real, you know? So at that point, I knew he was real. I knew he was real. And I've been talking to him ever since. I've been literally like, my life has never been the same.
Wow.
I've never been the same. I just came out of everything that I've been through and
healed. You found yourself.
Yeah, healed, you know, and it's when you're healed, it's a whole different ballgame. You see life so different. You see people so different. You can love so easily. Mm. You can love just anybody.
Does it get rid of all the anger that you were feeling?
Yes, it does. Good. It does. You're able, like, that's one thing. I've become a very forgiving person, which I was not. I'm not gonna lie. I was not. I was so mean and resentful, you know, but I have become very forgiving, very loving, you know. My family, it trickled down to them.
Yeah, and you're at a point where you're counseling other women to help them through situations that maybe they don't know how to start feeling happiness or joy or find themselves. So honestly, thank you so much for sharing that story. Yes. And there's your one final test, a very big, dangerous test you did with God, I think, right? Is part of the story in your book. So
yeah.
So we're not going to cover that. I won't push you to
you
tell
remember that.
I do remember. I love that story. Well, you know, it was very interesting.
Yes. I forgot I told you that. Okay. That's awesome.
I'm going to leak it. I'm just kidding.
You know what? It's so funny because I've been told, you know, when you are a pastor or when you're doing great in life, people are going to come and want to, you know, sabotage you and leak out your, you know, your past. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm not worried about that. Yeah, I said, you want to know about my past? It's in my book. I will leak it myself. I'm not ashamed.
Honestly, you know? I think that's huge. And not only about anybody that goes through crazy trauma. You know, I think a lot of times we're afraid of our past or we judge ourselves for no reason. You know, that's the past. It is what it is. We just have to accept it, talk about it, and move on we can actually fully accept it and get over it. I feel like if we keep certain things a secret or hide it or be ashamed of it, then that's when we're still letting it affect us.
Yeah, the shame is what keeps us stuck, keeps us bound, you know? But when we can understand, hey, you know what? I'm not perfect. Nobody is perfect.
And literally, the more people I talk to, the more I see that everybody has gone through stuff. Everybody is dealing with stuff currently. So we're not alone. And it's okay to talk about it and accept ourselves for our past. And if we want to be a different version of ourselves, we can work on it and become who we want to become, right?
Yeah, which is very true.
That's why there's women like you to help others. People to get there if they need the help. Okay, so you have a foundation and a ministry. So is that the same thing? Or like, I'm a little confused because you're doing so much, because I do want to ask some follow-up questions about that, but please.
Yes, the ministry is separate from the foundation. I do things separately, but the foundation itself. So this foundation, it's called Time to Rise Up.
Okay.
And so we call it the True Foundation because, you know, Time to Rise Up is TRU.
Okay. So, okay, nice.
Yeah, it just happened that way. And so I'm going international with it.
Wow.
And the reason being is, like,
so you're
with
really
this,
seeing a huge whole
the vision I have is real big.
So tell us. I think it's so inspiring, honestly. Yeah. Hearing, I know a lot of people have told me when I share my vision, like, people get super inspired. So I know they're going to get so inspired if you share your vision, your huge, big dreams vision. So tell us a little bit.
The vision I have for this foundation is creating outreach centers for people to clean up out of drugs, alcohol, trauma, all of that stuff.
Okay.
And getting them back, not only into the real world, but getting them on the track of becoming entrepreneurs. That is really the main goal. You know, like, I don't want to raise up people to be healed and everything to go work for somebody else, but I want them to be leaders, to create more of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that's in my head. I'm like, wow, that takes a lot, you know, to take somebody from ground zero almost, or even negative, you know, at that point, if they don't even have that foundation of like the self-love or self-worth or feeling that, you know, that fulfillment, then you're gonna have to take somebody from negative side to like at a norm and then train them to be more independent, even more goal-oriented and entrepreneur. Yeah. So I could only see the challenge, exciting challenges you're going to overcome with that.
I do believe it will be challenging, but I also believe that when you are already walking in it, you're already setting the example. You're setting the tone.
So do you think people are going to come to you? Are people coming to you to seek the help when they're in that situation? Okay.
Absolutely. Because I've already been receiving that.
Too. Okay, great. Yeah.
So this is, I mean, it's all stemming from what I've already experienced and what I've seen. And also, I want to have, for example, like youth groups, but more like after school, basketball, sports, all sorts of stuff. Keep kids off the street type of thing. You know, encourage them to pretty much
to do positive things with something. Their time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like we don't have enough of that.
Wow.
You know, we don't have, you know, mentors to guide these kids.
No,
either.
Not a lot of free resources, honestly.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, honestly, this is where I'm like, okay, I work a lot because what I want to do is free. You know, I feel like, okay, in order to be something, you have to have the money. And it's okay if we can make it easier for these kids, you know, to
have the resources.
To want to become something, you know, same with childcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, childcare and
such huge issues that we can talk about for a very long time.
Yeah. And so, I mean, all of this is all faith-based. You know, so That's the goal.
That's going to be your mission with your foundation. Yes. I love that. And you said international.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. I love your huge, huge vision. And I can't wait to see it alive.
Me too.
I've had similar vision when I can realistically get to it to do with the youth centers that are creating people, not necessarily trauma, because I don't know too much about that area, but more bringing low income families, children who don't have the knowledge and the privilege to be around other entrepreneurs or other leaders that can give them good mentorship advice. So that's kind of on my long term to do with it. So maybe we can connect and see how we can make a little big change in this world.
Absolutely. I feel like that's the goal. We've got to leave a footprint on this earth.
How about the catering company? Is that supporting you financially to see the foundation and your vision to come into life? What's your plan with that? Have you thought about it?
Yes, it is. But I also work. I also do other stuff. So I do mentor. I do youth mentoring as well as part of my job. But also, again, you know, it's like I want to work in what I love to do.
Of course.
You know, because I want to be where I'm going to make a difference.
Okay, so I know you're juggling so much and you're so passionate. You really want to, you know, make your dream life come true. Your business, your counseling, your ministry, your book, you know, all of that good stuff. So what does a typical day in your life look like with trying to do so much?
So a typical day in my life would look like coffee first. Coffee first, for sure.
Big cup.
Yes, a really big cup. Checking emails, checking orders. From there, I mean, it depends. I mean,
every day is... I know, I always have a hard time answering that question myself, honestly. Yeah, so because I understand.
Every day is different. Either I'm doing more counseling.
So I'm doing more ministry. How do you keep track of it, I guess? Do you have like organizational system where you can make sure you're on top of all those projects or businesses you're working on?
I do.
What's your system?
So my system is my phone secret. And my calendar. That's it. I literally have to juggle my time where it's like, okay, from this time to this time, you're working on this. And I literally, in order for me to accomplish a good day, a fulfilling day, I have to stick to that.
So you just plan out from your to-do list everything that you have to do. You plan it out and you schedule it in your calendar for that day or future days. Is that pretty much how you follow it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I also do, I just started doing conferences as well.
Oh, wow.
So I do. So like, you know, guest speaking.
Also, people can book you to go speak. Oh, I love that. Yeah. And your story is so empowering, your full story. So I'm sure a lot of people will benefit hearing you speak in person. I remember as I was doing your lashes, listening to your story, I was getting goosebumps and I was so excited to like just connect with you and talk and like see the changes you're making in other people's lives. So,
you know what? And again, that's the fulfilling part. Part of it. Mm-hmm. We go through trials and we overcome not only for ourselves but for others. You know, it's for others because there's so many broken people walking around, and it's sad because it just trickles on to their kids.
It just makes the world not a happy place. Yeah. Honestly, that was part of my mission trying to do this podcast, because ultimately, like, I do believe if people do more of what they love and they're happier, they're working on themselves, working on like the career that they love, they're going to be happier and better people, then they can help other people, and ultimately the world will be a better place, right?
Absolutely.
So it really, really does that. And in another podcast episode, we did cover like how important it is in our happiness for us to help other people. So it's almost selfish to help other people, right? Yeah. So I want to make that clear that it is such a weird feeling, and it's not a weird, like a exciting.
It is.
I don't know what, it's how to describe it.
Like, but for me, it's super fulfilling.
Just to get that thank you, you've changed my life. Or thank you, even if it's $2, you know, for someone who can use it. I think just that feeling of knowing that you did something good for somebody else makes you happier.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned this, because I've been helping at this. It's a recovery home. mm-hmm. teens with, you know, mental health, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so recently I just, you know, spoke to one of the facility managers there. And the first thing she tells me, she says, I saw your heart as soon as you walked in. Aww. It's like you had a halo on your head and like you have a heart, you know, for all of this. And literally, like, my tears came out because I'm just like, we just are constantly going mm-hmm. and, you know, just trying to do the best we can, you know, especially when you know, you're an entrepreneur and you're super busy, mm-hmm. you're going. That when
we forget people, to stop and think.
Yeah. And so when people actually point it out, it's just like, wow, like, really? So all of this that I'm doing, it's paying off. I felt like, okay, so I'm doing what I'm supposed to be. I'm on the right track. And I was like, it's literally all God. Like, I have that energy. I have the peace, you know, the joy in doing it all too, mm-hmm. you know, and it's all God. I mean, this isn't me. It's all God. That's exactly. And there's not a day that goes by that I'm just like, I'm not like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, because I've overcome so much. You know, I've overcome so much.
Thank you for sharing that. One last question. We are running short on time, but I wanted to see, what are your last words of encouragement for our listeners that want to start their own business, that want to explore helping other people or starting a foundation? What is your last piece of advice for them?
I would say make sure 100% of your heart is in it. Because whatever you literally love to do and you're wholeheartedly doing, you will grow. You will succeed, whatever it may be, whether it be a business, whether it be, you know, helping your community, whether it be foundation, whatever it may be, do it wholeheartedly.
Okay, I love that.
Do it wholeheartedly.
I love that as our last piece of advice.
Yeah.
Thank you again so much for sharing. I could talk to you forever. And I love hardworking women and individuals who have big goals and dreams. So thank you again for your time, for being
Absolutely.
On the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I look forward to grabbing your book. So please tell our listeners, where can they find you and what is your book going to be called?
My book is called In My Sin Is Where He Found Me.
Okay, I love that title.
That's the title of my book, and you can find me at sandymarie.com.
Okay, perfect. And we'll link all that information below.
Yes.
So thank you again.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Please rate and review this podcast. Follow and engage with us on social media under The Yegi Project. And if you're interested in being a guest, email info@theyegiproject.com. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.